Let's get started with FM Sports Saturday. Your hosts Fred Holtberg and Marty Watts will discuss the recent local and national sports hot topics. They're taking your calls at 994-1017. That's 994-1017. It's FM Sports Saturday with Fred Holtberg and Marty Watts. Brought to you by Supercuts, New Mexico National Guard, FIRST Family Dining and Catering, and State Farm agent Marty Seiss. And now, it's time for Fred Holtberg and Marty Watts.
Hey, welcome to the Fred Marty Show on 101.7. I am so sleepy. I told Kelly that if she sees my head go down, she better come in here and just push the chair to the right and be the host.
Boy, you look tired, but let me tell you, folks, if you want to come out to a great New Mexico Games event, we're at the new ballpark on 98th Street and the freeway, I-40. It's the new Albuquerque Regional Ballpark that they actually spend over $25 million on.
I think it's more like 20, unless you heard something different.
They started at
18 and then they went to 20.
And then the last I heard, it was 25.
Well, but I know you. And you kind of exaggerate a little bit.
No. This is... It is $25 million.
But I believe you.
If you go out there, it's five college regulation fields.
Right.
And for the fields...
Everybody thinks that field one is bigger. And the only thing that I know that's different about one is there's more seating. And they have the padded... fencing in the back, but I think that's the only difference. The size of the fields are all the same.
And they have each field has a different press box, so for television-wise, we're going to be broadcasting the finals tomorrow at 1 o'clock on Comcast 26, and then we'll be on Facebook page for ProView if you want to watch it on Facebook. But we'll be doing the finals, and hopefully we'll know probably by 12 o'clock who's going to be in the finals.
Yeah.
How many teams are out there playing in this high school?
We have 18 teams playing.
And these are mostly American Legion teams.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Yep.
Right now,
I'm saying, I know for sure that, Farmington, Rio Rancho, trying to think who else, Piedra Vista. I know at least those teams are undefeated right now. So what they do... What they do is they now see the teams after 3 days. I mean, not 3 days, 2 days and three games. They now seed it, and they'll play two more games. Everybody plays at least five games. You're guaranteed five games. The teams that come out at the end, the semifinal teams, so those teams will actually – some will play seven games. And you know what that means? What's that? What's the most important thing in baseball?
Position.
Yeah, who? What position?
I think the toughest position is playing catcher.
Well, the pitcher
pitching,
that
and pitching.
Pitching is the most important thing in baseball. I mean, you got to have pitching. Can you imagine these teams will end up playing seven games? They have about 15 guys on their team.
And these are seven inning games.
These are seven inning games. Yeah.
Now, if you want to come out to the ballpark, it's the most beautiful thing Albuquerque's built since they built the Isotopes Park. Now we've got five. Fields, four of them are together. The fifth field is on the side of the property. Five college stadium baseball pitches. They're artificial turf, and they got good shade, great concession stands. It is free to go watch these games. At what time the first games will be starting today?
Well, today they'll all start at 12 o'clock noon, and it is free, so it doesn't cost anything. And like I said, every 2 hours, teams will be playing. So it's pretty neat to see, everybody playing on all the fields at one time. Because, you know, if you're going to one game, you're watching a game, and maybe it's like last night, guy Piedra Vista was beating El Dorado like 19-4 or something like that. Well, somebody might want to go and watch a different game or something.
So the four fields are around this gigantic media center with a press box for each one. So if one game is out of hand, you can go to the next game.
You just go to the next one. It's right next
to each other.
Or if you want to scout, too. It's so nice because what we had to do in the past is we had to go to, like, we always used Cleveland. We always used La Cueva. We used Manzano a lot. We used El Dorado a lot. We used Volcano Vista a bunch. I mean, can you imagine how many miles that we're driving to go out to those fields? And and checking them out and find. It's so nice to have this. It's just incredible.
And so what makes it so great, you just go to one ballpark, you get to watch everybody at one time,
yep.
And it's beautiful. I mean, they put the best you can buy in baseball. The fields are in great condition. And here's another thing I love about tomorrow is we're going to have the semifinals at 10 o'clock.
Yep.
And then the final's going to be...
So they'll be on field 1 and 2.
And so you can come out tomorrow at 10, and then at 1 o'clock we're going to have the finals. It will be on television. Where else can you go to a baseball tournament where we're going to be televising the finals?
That's right. So, hey, I'll tell you what, Marty. Now, I know that we didn't play night games in the past. And to be honest... about the only night game, really, is the last game because you know how it stays light till dark. But, boy, you wouldn't believe the fans. I bet it tripled or quadrupled the fans by playing out there. You wouldn't believe all the fans.
Because we have lights out there.
Yeah, you got lights out there, but you got a nice place to sit down. You have chair backs. That's another difference, that they have actually chair backs in that first field, and they have bleachers everywhere, though. I can't even remember.
We want to give thanks to City Councilman Ken Sanchez, Brad Winters, another city councilman, of course, Tom Lewis, who's no longer a city councilman. They were the ones who really got behind this project, and they got Mayor Barry on board to put it on a bond issue, and that was really important. But you got to hats off to City Councilman Ken Sanchez and Brad Winters, and of course, former Councilman Lewis, and then in the Barry administration. I do think that Tim Keller now, I think he really likes what he sees. When he was running for mayor, he wasn't really crazy about the money being spent, but boy, every weekend that park is full.
Hey, just so everybody knows the rules now, you can like him or not like him, but I think everybody, no one complained about the rules. The rules were you can't bring but one bottle of water, or you could bring, like, if you went to McDonald's or Burger King or Lotaburger and you happen to have your drink still with you, they'll let you bring that in, but that's it. No food. And so you have to buy your food there, or you drive a couple miles, 2 or 3 miles. But the thing is that I you know, we're going to let everybody know that from now on that I don't know if that rule is going to be, you know, for everybody. Right now it is, and they have talked about even charging to get in. And I don't know what's good and what's not. I don't know how you feel about charging to get into the stadium. How do you feel about that if they charge too? That make more money.
Well, I don't know. One of the things I want to do is we want to get Kenny Barreras, who's in charge of APS Sports. I need to. We hope to convince him in APS. We want next spring. We want to do it a game of the week on a night game.
Yeah.
And we can put it on statewide television like we did for football and basketball, the game of the week.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping we can get APS and Real Rancho to give us one game a week out there, and we showcase baseball. Now that's my goal is for next spring, and I'm hoping Kenny Barreras, I think he's up. I hope he's up for it. A lot of it's going to be the cost, and how can they? Because they have to travel to the ballpark.
Yeah.
But
another problem too, Marty, is going to be is the demand has gotten so big. Like I even asked for next year, and they said you better get on it right now if you want to get there next year. And I don't know how serious it is, but they're saying they are booking and booking and booking, and who gets it first? And like I was told that. By a person out there that they're going to look and see how many out-of-town teams that had to travel and stay in a hotel. That's what they want. They're looking at that more than – we're not that way. We had this year only 4 or 5 teams, and in the past we usually have more. But so are they going to not let us do it because of that reason? I don't know.
I don't know. And maybe this thing with the game of the week next spring, you know, like March and April, we bring an out-of-town high school in where they're going to stay overnight or something. That might be something we could do. But, hey, one other thing I was going to tell you, on June 21st to June 23rd, it's called the Gateway Tournament, and they're bringing the best club baseball. This is the high school. These are the kids who are going to go to college.
Yeah.
And they're bringing in like 16 of the best teams in the Southwest. There'll be teams from Phoenix, Denver, El Paso, Oklahoma City. They got teams from Salt Lake City, Montana, Wyoming. They're all coming, and that's going to be. And we'll that in the next couple broadcasts, we'll talk about it. But that's going to be at the ballpark. That tournament used to be in Las Vegas, and they moved it from Las Vegas to here because of the heat. And they figure, and Albuquerque sold them on it. So it is bringing money in, and that's why I think Tim Keller, our new mayor, should be happy because it's bringing commerce into this state, in this city.
Oh yeah, that's
people are spending money, and but you got to go out and see the ballpark. It is as good as any ballpark. I would say regional ballpark to anywhere in the country. And what I think, Fred, is that it was about time we did something like this. It's been tell the fans how long it's been since we hadn't had a ballpark.
Well, actually, it's the one that we had at Los Altos. We had two baseball fields. Then they moved one down to C&M. And then, I mean, so I don't even know how long the C&M. We worked out a deal with them. That we got. Remember the soccer fields? Or I don't know if you call them soccer fields because they played football. Right at C&M on the west side.
Yeah.
We traded that. They gave us that land, which was great on the west side. We gave them that land where C&M was. Right by the tennis complex. So it's been a long time.
So this is a really great thing. And a lot of people were skeptical, but you and I know once they build it, people will come. And they have come. It's like that movie. What's the movie with Kevin Costner?
Yeah.
Field of Dreams.
Yeah, Field of Dreams. Yeah.
It's like Field of Dreams.
Don't ask me questions today. I'm so tired.
He looks tired, but...
I really am. Hey, we got 3 minutes.
We got three minutes.
So the New Mexico... Games is our, you know, sponsoring this show, and so we might as well finish up.
Yeah.
Since we only have 3 minutes to go, now we have 2.5. Hey, just so everybody knows, we've already done an arm wrestling, very successful. We've already done badminton. We did basketball last week. I worked 57 hours last week. I know you worked a bunch. You helped over at Valley.
I ended up going I didn't go to church twice on Sunday. That's for sure.
Yeah, right. Now we have baseball. I mean, it's crazy. 50-some hours for basketball, 50-some hours for baseball. Then this coming week, we have pickleball.
Pickleball?
And pickleball right now, Gary Rutherford's our commissioner. He has, I know Kelly doesn't like this because she's a tennis player, and I don't think her mother likes it either because pickleball is now taking over. It's 120... Seven or eight people have signed up to play pickleball.
And you're not going to believe what happened last night.
What's that?
I'm surfing on television, and all of a sudden, on the CBS Sports Channel, there's a pickleball championship going on television. First time I ever watched pickleball on national television. So what does that say about pickleball?
I know. Well, then also we have judo, and Howard Higgins has been doing this for many, many years for us, and we usually have over 100 people from all over the Southwest, from Utah, Colorado, Arizona. Even though this is the New Mexico Games, we allow those people to come. So that'll be next weekend too at Sandia Prep, and then judo. And then we have, of course, Charlie Guess has been doing sand volleyball for us for about 20 years now, and so they'll have sand volleyball. So just kind of look at the website, check out things, what's going on. We'd love to have you be in the game.
Fred, tell people pickleball is a downsize of tennis, so people don't know what it is.
Well, it is. I mean, originally, before they built the pickleball courts, which is they're beautiful, over by Manzano Multi-Generational Center, we were actually taking half of the – we were lining the tennis courts, which the tennis people kind of didn't like that I did that, but I was kind of told to do it. And now we don't have to do that. We have most beautiful pickleball courts, Marty, that probably one of the best in the country. Probably not the biggest because I'm sure some of the real big places, they probably have 24 courts.
So pickleball is played on the ball's not a tennis ball. It's more of a plastic ball,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, kind of like a wiffle ball.
And the rackets are more like a
paddle
ball.
Yeah, like paddle.
Rackets.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, hey. We better go, though. We better. We're not going for good, though.
We have to take our break
here,
but
right.
We've sure got a lot of talk about.
Well, we're going to talk about, we saw in the paper today, Logwood's playing in Mexico, more awards for Josh Kerr and Edgar Kurgott. I mean, I can't believe
that. And then I've got my distant cousin, Autumn Watts.
That's
she
right.
signed up to play for the Lobos. She's 6'1". She's a beast, and she's averaging 17 points a game. She'll
That's
be playing
right.
for the Lobos in 2019. She's an all-star out of Denver.
Yep. Anyway, hey, we'll be back in just a second on 101.7 FM, The Team.
Hi, this is Henry Winkler, and you're listening to SM Sports Saturday with Fred Holtberg and Marty Watts, ESPN Radio, 101.7, The Team.
And we're back with FM Sports Saturday. Fred Holtberg and Marty Watts are waiting for you to give them a call at 994-1017. That's 994-1017. Now, let's get back to FM Sports Saturday. Brought to you by Frontier Restaurant, Menchie's, Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce, and the Albuquerque Convention and Visitors Bureau Sports Marketing Department. And now, it's time for Fred Holtberg and Marty Watts.
Hey, welcome back to FM Sports Saturday. I'm Fred, and there's Marty, and there's Kelly, and I'm still falling asleep. And
full of BS, I guess.
That's
who
right.
knows?
And, you know, Kelly's falling asleep, too, she told me. Man, she's had a heck of an experience for about a week and a half, too. So I don't know about this show today. We're not going to be a highly rated show, I don't think. So.
Well, you know, what I love about our show, we talk about women's sports. We talk about sports that you don't hear on the radio, okay?
That's true.
And think about it. More people come up to me and say, Marty, I'm so glad you talk about women's softball, women's volleyball. And you know what? You know, since I only have one daughter, I'm really partial to women's sports as it is. And, of course, you go to all the women's games at UNM.
I go to men's, women's, everything.
So we do cover
sports here in town. We really do.
And to be honest with you, I don't think there's one radio guy here in town that does what we do, even though –
Well, that's good. We don't want to all be the same. That's what's so perfect about it.
And that's what the most important word in marketing is called positioning. What makes you different than anybody else? And for a lot of businesses, they never learn how to position their company. And we position our show as a show that is different. We talk about other sports. We go from rugby to lacrosse. We talk about everything.
I don't go to rugby. You do.
I go to rugby. But but with that saying, we are going to talk about the NBA basketball because it is the finals, and we're going to make a few comments.
Well, I feel bad because, you know, I worked till 11:30. I didn't have time to even watch it the next day because I had to work the next day and then the next day. But I heard a lot of things. Thank goodness I could listen to the radio and did hear comments. And what a game. I mean, I heard people say this is a game that you're never going to see a better game than this. I mean, it was controversial, but I mean, you got to feel bad for J.R. Hill. I mean, that poor guy.
And what about the guy who got the rebound?
Oh, yeah. J.R. Hill was the guy that got the...
He shot the three-throw.
J.R. Smith.
J.R. Smith.
He's the one that got the... Hill's the one that shot the ball.
Fred, the guy went brain dead. And he might be a great person. I felt bad for the guy because I heard him after the game, but he went brain dead. The only thing I can compare this to is when Weber from University of Michigan calls a timeout when they didn't have any timeouts in the finals, and they gave the final shot to Michael Jordan, North Carolina Tar Heels, to win the national championship.
Yeah.
So the only thing I can go back, that was a brain dead play.
Of course, Smith still had to shoot the ball and make the basket. I mean, it sounds like
he got the rebound and couldn't shoot.
He went out.
He thought they were ahead.
Yeah.
And he just went brain dead.
Yeah, he did.
And it was just the other thing, you have to go back to 1913 when Fred Snodgrass hits a winning hit to get the Giants in the pennant, but he didn't step on first base. He went halfway and celebrated, and then what happened was the Cubs went back to the umpire, and he didn't touch first, and they didn't win the pennant. That was back in 1913 for the New York Giants in the Polo Grounds against the Cubs, Fred Snodgrass. So those are what we call bonehead plays, and this guy made a bonehead play. I felt sorry for the Cavaliers because LeBron James, 51 points.
What a great effort. Isn't that something? You score 51 points and you lose the ball game.
Only five other guys in NBA Finals have ever scored 50 points. And so it's kind of sad. But, yeah, you have to go back to Weber in the finals between – and Weber was playing for Michigan, and Michigan had a chance to win, and he calls a timeout, and Michigan had no timeouts left, and they had to call a technical against the Michigan Wolverines. Now, those are the – unless somebody else has a worse brain-dead play than that, but I felt bad. Even though in the overtime, the Warriors took it to them. They played really good. So,
well, the people that bet on the Warriors lost because I think that was a 12-point I think there were 12-point favorites in that game. And I mean, do you think that because of all that's happened do you think that maybe the Warriors are going to win this game real easily, or do you think it's going to be another tough battle?
I think the emotional, I've got to believe it took a lot out of the Cavaliers. Played a great game, and they should have won it. They had a chance to win it. And I think it's going to be tough for them to win tomorrow. We'll see how they come out and play. I mean, what more can LeBron James do? He scores 50-some points, and he still doesn't win the game.
Well, it's funny how people still they treat him kind of bad. A lot of people don't like him. And you know, I mean, can you imagine it's his eighth straight NBA Finals? I mean, gosh darn. I mean, who does that?
No, he's as good as anybody's ever played in the NBA. He's up there with Michael Jordan and all the great ones. What makes him different is he's big and physical, and he plays a guard. He's just tough to match up with, and he can take you to the basket. He can go and shoot the three pointer. He's just a tough guy, and he does play great defense. I mean, I don't think Michael Jordan isn't built like LeBron James. Jordan was a different type of player, but I gotta say LeBron James is one of the greatest to ever play the game. Him and Jordan right now have to be, and I think he's a lot better player than Kobe Bryant. Bryant was more of an outside shooter, even though Bryant could go in, but I think LeBron James changes the game.
Well, what's unusual too, that's never happened before, is if you take the top, you take the NBA, the NHL, you take all the different four different leagues, nothing, this has never happened before where you have the same team. I don't know if that's good or bad. I really don't know. But the same teams are playing each other four straight times, and that's never happened before. Well, what do you think? You think
the
good
last
or bad?
The last time it came close, I think the Lakers played the Celtics back in the early 60s three straight years in a row in the finals. In those days when Albach was the coach.
Sure.
And of course, the great point guard for the Boston Celtics was Bob Cousy. Boy, was he a whiz with the ball.
Well, the Lakers and the Russell. Celtics back in those days, man, everybody loved to watch those two teams.
So Elgin Baylor, can you imagine Elgin Baylor, and of course Jerry West, and then of course the Celtics had Bob Cousy and Bill Russell. What a matchup that was back in those days. And of course, remember when Bird with the Celtics going against Magic Johnson with the Lakers. So I hope Cleveland comes back on this tomorrow night, but they missed the opportunity winning game one they could have stole. So I don't know if it's going to take a lot out of them or not, but I'll tell you one thing. There have been very few players that have carried – I think this team with Cleveland, they don't have all the great players like some teams have, and LeBron James has actually carried this team on his own back. So it's amazing they're in the finals.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, this is kind of late news, but we're only on once a week. And, you know, the Hall of Fame chose two winners for the Athletes of the Year. And one, our choice was Jordan Bird and for the male and Amanda Maiero for the girls. And so did the Journal. And what do you think about that?
Well, I think Jordan Bird.
These are two celebrated individuals.
Jordan Bird deserves it. He takes his football team to the first title Manzano High School's ever won. They've never won a state title. And he, as a quarterback, he took them to the state title game they won. And then as a track and field star, he won the 200, 100 meters, and I think he anchored the relays. I mean, he deserved to be the player of the year. And, of course, Amanda, she's dominated track. We thought somebody could beat her, but she's just had incredible record.
She really is. And, you know, she's totaled 10 gold medals in cross country and track and field. And I think that was a perfect choice. And
so if you want to see Jordan Bird today, he's going to be running around 4 o'clock. He'll be running in the Elite 100, and he's going up against 7 guys from out of state, and it's going to be probably the last time you'll ever see him run the 100 meters in Albuquerque because he's going to San Diego State on a football scholarship.
It's Pro-View's televised.
That's going to be on Channel 26. And by the way, at 6 o'clock, you'll be able to watch the Gladiators game. They're playing the Texas Revolution. And if they win that game, they clinch a playoff of a home field playoff berth. But if you want to see Jordan Bird, he's going to be at the Great Southwest Track Meet at University Stadium. This will be the 45th year the track meet has been together. That's 45 years in a row they've had this track meet. And I shout out to John Holland. What a great job he has done.
He really has. I've known John forever. I mean, I think I mentioned this on the show a million years ago, but we had John, I don't know if he was going to really be a Pike, but we had him run in a track and field meet for the Pikes, and he won the 400 meters, and I think he did it in about like 50 flat or something like that, and in his tennis shoes. So
the kid from Taos, Vigil, what's his name? Jonas Vigil. He's going to be running in the 400 meters. And, you know, he ran the fastest time ever recorded in New Mexico for high school, 46. Now, he's going
46.99.
And he's going up against 4 guys who's won 46. That will be the race. I think there's a good chance he'll break he'll beat his time. He's going up against 4 great runners from Oklahoma, Colorado. Remember, all these people in this track meet are from other states. They've got people from Utah, Arizona, California, a bunch of kids from Arkansas, Kansas, a bunch of kids from Wichita, Texas. So this kid from Taos, New Mexico, who has run he's only a junior. He's going up against seniors, young, you know, top runners. Let's see how he does. I think he's going to run the fastest time ever recorded in New Mexico for New Mexico runner. That 400-meter race is a race I want to watch, and you want to watch Jordan Bird going up against the best. Jordan Bird ran a 10.46. I think he has a chance to break his record today. And I think those races are going to be around 3:30, 4 o'clock.
Can't forget the story that was in the paper about Volcana Vista Steeth. And she's facing some of the country's top runners. She's that 400-meter girl.
She's going to be in there.
And she's the best in New Mexico in the 400 meters. So she's still undecided where to go. UNM is one of the schools she'd like to attend, though.
And, you know, let me tell you this. This is the 45th time we've had this Drake track meet, and it's all supported by local sponsors. We get no money from the state, no money from the city, and I don't know if UNM's charging for the stadium or not, but I will tell you this. That's why, like the New Mexico Games, we don't get support from anybody else except our sponsorships, and that's why it's important that you support organizations like the Great Southwest and New Mexico Games.
I agree. Hey, let's talk about, you know, you and I don't talk much about the Aggies, but, you know, the Aggies did have a heck of a year in baseball, but they played an unbelievable team, a team they haven't beat now. They've lost 3 straight to Texas Tech.
So they play today.
Yeah.
They're in the loser's bracket in Lubbock. If they win today, I think they play 2 tomorrow. Or they play a night game. I think they play this morning, and then they end up playing tonight. So they have, for them to stay in this, they lost to Texas Tech last night in Lubbock for the first round of the regionals, and they lost 9-2.
And Texas Tech is number 9 seeded, number 9 nationally. So they're a very, very good team. And, of course, the Lobos, I know we don't win usually maybe 1 out of 3 or 4 games against them. The Aggies actually lost all their games against Texas Tech. But congratulations to them. And, you know, Coach Green's turned out to be a heck of a coach.
Oh, yeah. Listen, this is the worst year the Lobos have ever played Aggies. We lost to them in football. We lost both games in basketball. And we lost every game we played against them in baseball.
We beat them in a couple of things. We beat them in women's basketball. We swept them, didn't we?
Yeah, that was the only sport we beat.
Yeah, that's it. So, hey, let's take a break then. It's time for a break, and then we'll be back in
We're going to talk about that big game the Lobos are going to play Wisconsin early in the football season. We're praying for a big-time upset.
That's right. And then, hey, I wanted to bring up about the top 10 legends without a pro championship. I'm going to have you guess. I'm not even going to show you. You're looking at my paper, but I'm not going to show you.
Well, I know maybe one or two of them.
I know you do. Hey, we'll be back in just a second on 101.7 FM, The Team.
Former Lobo Royce Almy, and you're listening to FM Sports Saturday with Fred Holtberg and Marty Watt on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team.
And we're back with FM Sports Saturday. Fred Holtberg and Marty Watts are waiting for you to give them a call at 994-1017. That's 994-1017. Now, let's get back to FM Sports Saturday. Brought to you by Frontier Restaurant, Menchie's, Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce, and the Albuquerque Convention and Visitors Bureau Sports Marketing Department. And now, it's time for Fred Holtberg and Marty Watts.
Hey, welcome back to FM Sports Saturday. There's Marty and there's Fred. Kelly, and we're ready to do the last, about 12 minutes of the show?
Yeah. And
and hey, we're going to talk about something. We're going to bring up football. I can't wait for football. I don't know about you. I buy 7 tickets. You sit by me. I buy 7 tickets every year. I'm just hoping they support the football team and support all the stuff.
Well, you know, we open up the season at home against Incarnational Wood. I never heard of that school, but
yeah, I know.
We should beat them. And then the following week, we go up to Big Ten country up in Madison, Wisconsin, and we play the Wisconsin Badgers. They were 13-1 last year, and they almost won the Big Ten division. They lost Ohio State in the finals, but we go up against them. But, you know, Fred, I remember 3 years ago, Cal Poly Mustangs, Cal Poly of San Luis Obispo, They're a Division I AA team. They went into Madison, Wisconsin, and they ran an option offense. And as a matter of fact, the offensive line coach for Cal Poly is our offensive line coach for the Lobos.
Yeah, right.
And they went up to Wisconsin. They took them into overtime, double overtime. And you know the reason why they lost is they missed the extra point. When they scored against Wisconsin in the overtime, they missed the extra point, and Wisconsin made the extra point. That's how close it was.
Yeah, it can happen. It really can.
Now,
it
doesn't
happen.
Mean we can't beat them.
What's the point spread you think of that game?
Oh, guys, probably going to be 35, 40 points, maybe.
You think it'll be that high? I was thinking of maybe 28, but you're probably right.
I don't know, but I do know this. The Lobos going into August is that we have, for an 85-man roster, it's the most depth we've ever had. We do have some good players. We brought in some junior college players that we had Coach Davey on a couple weeks ago, and he says that it's going to be a lot of curiosity. What was his word?
Yeah, I remember that. I forgot. It was a great the way he did say something about it's going to be curiosity.
Because
this team is going to – yeah, I can't remember his word, but it was a good word. It was telling us that you really have no idea what this team is going to do.
He has – now, if you just look at pure talent, just talent, football talent,
yeah.
This is the best roster we've ever had. If you just go from one player to the next and depth-wise. Now, it doesn't mean they play good football. That's another story. And, of course, it all comes down to Baca playing quarterback, whoever's going to be the quarterback.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, we got a caller. We got Eric wants to say something about – I don't know if it's Lobo football, but maybe it is. Hey, Eric, how's it going, guy?
Hey, Fred. First of all, big congrats to you. New Mexico Games has been a success year after year after year, and you're a big part of that.
Well, thank you very much.
You might remember me. I helped at a lot of the summer swimming events.
Oh yeah, but, no, I do. I sure do.
But I was going to talk. First of all, you were talking about bonehead plays earlier, and I just wanted to remind you of Leon Lett.
Yeah, we'll remember that.
For the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah,
just racked one into the end zone and gave up a touchdown when he didn't need to touch the ball. But, yeah, the Lobo football team, I'm really excited this year. Was very disappointed with fan support last year. But I really like what Bob Davies doing. And I think that, you know, I doubt very much we have a chance against Wisconsin just because of physical size. But I think we're going to have a great year. And with the budget woes, I think a body bag game or two a year is probably in the offing for the rest of our lives.
You know, Eric, I was going to tell you this. For the first time, we're going to be able to rotate 7 defensive tackle. This is the biggest defensive line we've ever put on the field in a Bob Davies football team. Offensive line, we picked up some really great junior college players. Now, of course, the kid from Valley High School, Salty, we're hoping that he's going to be fine. But you just got to know, the guy who was the offensive line coach, they ran those schemes with Cal Poly, he knows how to play Wisconsin. I'm not saying we have a chance. It's like David versus Goliath in this one. But let's put it this way. It's hard to get ready for a option type offense. And now we've got this offensive coordinator from Arizona who likes to throw the ball and spread it out and the option. So who knows? We could catch him. We might make a game of it.
Yeah, you always have a puncher's chance, right? As long as you have a different offense, you always have a puncher's chance.
Well, and I think I'd much rather play him second game in the season than maybe sixth or seventh game in the season. You know, let's catch them where they're still learning and that, just like we're learning. But I think we have a better chance.
And we have and here's another thing. If we play early, if we don't turn it over, we led the nation in turnovers last year. We had 27. It killed us.
But the year before that, we were one of the best.
We were one of the best.
Yeah.
So it comes down, this is a football team that could win 7-8 games, but you know what's going to happen, Eric. It's going to come down to a field goal. It could come down to a crucial turnover. Injuries play a big part of it. Now, the good thing about the injury part, we have a lot of depth. We have guys, we're kind of soft on some of the, I think our safeties were not as strong there, but I will tell you this. If you go out there and watch this team practice, it's the most talent I've ever seen. Now, doesn't mean they're going to have a great season, but he has the ingredients. And, of course, it's going to come down, can our quarterback play at a good level? And that's hurt us this last season.
Well, this year I think finally we have something in the cupboard. You know, he's been playing with such thin rosters. And we've had quite, I think, an unusual amount of success considering what he was left with when he came here and the slow build. And last year was an anomaly, just like the year before. We probably won more than we would have. You know, there were so many short spread games. But I think it'll be fun to watch, and I'm looking forward to the season. I'll hang up and let you guys
know. Well, one other thing, Eric, that game against the Aggies, I think it's the third game of the season. If we can go down to Las Cruces and win that game, and we come back and play Liberty, and after that we go on the road to play UNLV, we could be 4-1. That's going to be a crucial game, that game in Las Cruces.
Hey, Eric, thanks for calling in, though. I really appreciate it. So, hey, top 10 legends without a pro championship.
Top 10.
So you give me one. Tell me.
Ernie Banks.
Yeah, he's number one on this thing.
Never played in a World Series game.
Well, just 19 seasons, 2,526 games, zero playoff appearances. Okay, that's one. Who else? I know you're going to get this one too. I think. Who else has never won? I'll give you a hint. Never won a Super Bowl. One of the greatest passers in the history of football.
Dan Marino?
That's right. Dan Marino. 17 seasons, 242 games, 10 playoff appearances.
Now, what I like about Ernie Banks, he always says, let's play two.
That's right.
And he just passed away a year ago. But I got to meet Ernie Banks at Wrigley Field when he was in his 70s. But he was a great guy.
Yeah, I agree. Well, another guy that... you know, the poor guy's fought cancer about five different times now. I'm giving you a hint, a quarterback. and
Jim Kelly.
Jim Kelly. And the thing is that him
from the Buffalo Bills.
Buffalo Bills. That everybody makes fun of the team because they lost four straight Super Bowls. How do you make fun of a team that makes it to the Super Bowl?
And the coach was Mar Levy, who coached the 1958-59
New Mexico Lobos.
And he's
in our Hall of Fame.
He's in the New Mexico Hall of Fame. Of course, he recruited Don Perkins to come and play for the Lobos, went on to play for the Cowboys and have all those great years. Mar Levy was the coach of those Buffalo Bills. He now lives in a high-rise condo down there on Michigan Avenue in Chicago, and I understand he comes on the radio once in a while on one of the radio stations and comment on football.
Well, you know, he did a video, and I were you there when we elected him to the Hall of Fame? And
yeah.
They had that really great video. I couldn't believe him, how good he was. He had some ear problems where he couldn't travel on the plane to come to Albuquerque. And he's also, how old is he? I forgot.
Well, you know, he went to the same high school. He went to Chicago Vocational High School on the south side. And that high school is famous for Dick Butkus.
Yeah.
But he went to the same high school. And you know who else went to that high school? Yeah. What, the last guy that won 30 games as a pitcher, Denny McClain from the Detroit Tigers.
Yeah.
They all went to Chicago Vocational High School. They're south of the stadium. They're in the south side of Chicago.
Hey, well, let's do a few more. This guy here is I think he's one of the greatest ball players of all time, but he did something wrong, and who would that be? One of the greatest of all times, and he got himself in trouble.
Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Well, no, I was saying Barry Bonds.
Barry Bonds.
Barry Bonds, yeah. Yeah, Shoeless Joe Jackson isn't on this
thing. Did he win a World Series for somebody?
No, that's the thing. He lost. He lost to the Anaheim Angels in Game 7 of the 2002 World Series, 4-1. That's the closest he ever made it, but he never won a World Series. Isn't that
amazing? How he got the name Shoeless? He was playing in the Carolina League.
You're talking about Shoeless now.
Yes, Shoeless Joe Jackson. Okay. Before he came up at the turn of the century, and he was playing in the Carolina League, and somebody stole his shoes and socks, so he played a whole game barefooted, and that's how he got the name Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Yep, that's true. Hey, well, Ty Cobb's another one. 24 seasons. 3,034 games, 3 playoff appearances. Now, the difference between the guys back in those days, the postseason only consisted of the World Series. I mean, that's what you got to look at, too. How far back? That's all they had was the World Series. They don't have all this other stuff.
So, here's the thing about Ty Cobb. When he died, he was worth $25 million, and he was the second largest stockholder of Coca-Cola. You know, he's from Georgia, from the Atlanta area, and when they started making Coca-Cola back at the turn of the century, he was smart enough to buy a lot of stock in the Coca-Cola company, and when he died, he was the second largest stockholder for Coca-Cola. He was worth $24 million when he died in the 1960s.
Wow.
I think he lived up in Reno, Nevada, somewhere in that area, but he was a very wealthy guy. Now, he wasn't very well liked by the players, but he was a great baseball player.
Wow. Wow. Hey, another one. And this is a pair of guys. Can you think in basketball of two guys that played together for 18 seasons, 1,422 games together, 18 playoff appearances?
Stockton and Malone.
Yep, you got it. Exactly.
Dick Stockton from Gonzaga, and Malone played for then he played for Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, Louisiana Tech, exactly.
And they were, what a great tandem, but they never won the title.
Isn't that amazing? They never did. And then what did Malone do? He went to, where did he go to do it? And then he still didn't do it. I forgot. Did he go to the Lakers, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, I think. But
yeah, went to the Lakers.
But they had to play those Michael Jordan teams. They made it in the finals. They just couldn't beat Michael Jordan and those great Bulls with Luke Longley. That was the team that knocked him around.
Yep. Okay. Hey, the last one, because we only have a minute 30 to go. This guy, 20 seasons, 2,440 games, one of the greatest ball players ever, batting average wise. Played in the Mountain West. That would give you a big hint.
Tony Gwynn.
Tony Gwynn, that's right. Yep.
And by the way,
never made it.
Do we miss
Despite
Tony Gwynn?
Despite his .371 batting average in the Fall Classic.
He going into the last 2 weeks of the season, he was at .390 and he didn't he had a chance to go .400. The last person to hit .400 in the major leagues was, as you know, is Ted Williams, 1941, and that was, and he didn't even win the MVP. Joe DiMaggio
that's
won
right.
it because Joe DiMaggio was hit 56 straight games.
Well, we got 30 seconds, and I think I can read this. It's not a lot here. Dodgers play the Rockies at 5 o'clock Sunday. The Dodgers, again, who are hot. They're hot. Joe O'Neill is really happy
right now. Joe
should
be happy right
now.
Yeah,
the Dodgers are playing the Rockies. Of course, I've become kind of a Rocky fan now. The Cavs play the Warriors. Should be a heck of a game. And then Monday, the locker room at Bob Brown, and we'll be back next week. We hope. We got so much stuff going on. We're going to work it out. Okay, we're gone.
God bless those New Mexico games.
Go to the New Mexico games baseball if you can.
Hi, this is Bob Davey, and you're listening to ESPN Radio 101.7, The Team.
That's it for today. Thank you for listening to FM Sports Saturday with Fred Holtberg and Marty Watts. Brought to you by Golden Pride Chicken, 10 Pins and More, Screen Images, and the Downs Racetrack and Casino. FM Sports Saturday is on every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. on your home for local talk. ESPN Radio, 101.7, The Team.
101.7 KQTM Rio Rancho Albuquerque, your hometown radio station.